A reading from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?
A real page turner, living the code. Sophie Naveau stared at Robert Langdon, as if believing that somehow, if she stared at him hard enough and long enough, she would understand why her grandfather died, who killed him, and why she was suddenly paired up with Langdon, a Harvard symbologist who her grandfather apparently thought would be important for her to connect with. Their adventure together started hours and hours and 350 pages ago, in the Louvre in Paris. Together, they were trying to crack the Da Vinci Code while running a mad dash to avoid capture by the authorities and subsequently finding themselves thrown into the middle of a dangerous enigma of both murder and ancient history. It seems you can't turn on the television, check your email, or even drive along the freeway without seeing some sort of reference to the Da Vinci Code. Our culture is mesmerized by it. Tour guides have hit the jackpot, realizing that churches tourists once passed by without even glancing are now hot places to visit in one's own search for the Holy Grail. Where once talk of Gnosticism and non-canonical gospels was reserved only for scholars of religion and the ancient world, now books on the Gospel of Mary, Thomas, and Philip are becoming bestsellers. In fact, the secular world barely rolled over and opened an eye with the discovery of the Nag Hammadi Library in 1945, but now the whole world is abuzz with talk of the Gospel of Judas. Churches that manage to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to talk about the nature of Jesus' divinity now tremble for fear that the Da Vinci Code might destroy the church. Even Tom Hanks got in on the action, and in a few weeks he will light up the silver screen as he brings back to life the quick-witted hero, Robert Langdon. The world waits to see Hollywood's take on Dan Brown's incredibly successful hit as it comes to life in a two-hour thriller. We have the fortune of looking backwards and know that the book was way better than the movie. But back to our sermon. They say that the Da Vinci Code is perhaps one of the best sellers ever, having sold over 40 million copies, making it a contender for, you guessed it, the Holy Bible, the all-time bestseller. Let's face it, our world has become obsessed with the Da Vinci Code. As Christians, people of the church, we find ourselves echoing the same questions that Sophie Naveau asks Robert Langdon as her mind begins to wrap around the profound discoveries that were unfolding before her. What if everything Christianity was based on was false? They each silently wondered if they might find evidence that could change the course of Christianity, proving that the New Testament was false testament. But you told me the New Testament was based on fabrications, Sophie naively prompted Langdon. He smiled. Sophie, every faith of the world is based on fabrication. That is the definition of faith. Acceptance of that which we imagine to be true, that which we cannot prove. He continued, every religion describes God through metaphor, allegory, and exaggeration from the early Egyptians through modern day Sunday school. Metaphors are a way to help our minds process the unprecedented. unprocessable. The problems arise when we begin to believe literally in our own metaphors. Even as he spoke the words, he wondered if they were hours, moments even, away from finding physical evidence that would shake the core of Christianity and cause millions of people to enter into a crisis of faith. Are we, like Sophie and Robert Langdon, both fascinated and fearful by what could ultimately be discovered? Dan Round paints a picture of a paranoid Catholic church that goes to extreme lengths to keep the real history of the Knights of Templar and the secret society of the Prairie of Zion from and out of the hands of the everyday Christian. The outcry from pious Christians worldwide that goes to extreme efforts to disprove the Da Vinci Code seems to strengthen this belief that the church could have something to lose, that somehow something could be discovered that could possibly destroy Christianity. It is so extreme that some Christian leaders actually are discouraging people from reading the book and watching the upcoming movie. Do we really think that the fate of Christianity could take a fatal wrong turn if it was scientifically proven that the New Testament was false testimony? Or if perhaps Jesus did marry Mary Magdalene and there were descendants of that holy union? Surely. Brown's book is no more of a threat to Christianity than Santa Claus is a threat to Christmas. We need not fear that Christianity is about to be debunked, or even that it is somehow capable of being debunked. The Da Vinci Code is a great novel. It poses some fascinating questions, and it certainly has sent our culture down a path of religious inquiry. But at the crux of this quest, surely must be the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? Is Christianity dependent upon the fact or fiction of the life of the historical Jesus? What does it mean to be people of God? Do we live in fear that someone will prove us wrong, take away our Jesus, destroy our God? Or do we live for another purpose? How do we and how will we, Fairview Community Church, live the Christian life in community together? The Bible can offer us a lot of rules to live by. The entire book of Leviticus is laying out laws for how to live in community. The Da Vinci Code poses the question of the political powers at play at the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene and Apostles' Creeds. If we were looking for rules to live by and laws to adhere to, our heritage could certainly spell out a list of things to believe and do. But the prophet Micah cuts right through to the heart of what it means to live a life pleasing to God. Sure, there are many rules in our society. We each have different beliefs about God and the nature of the divine. But here, put very simply and clearly, Micah reveals to us what it is God requires of us. Are we supposed to give burnt offerings to God, sacrificing all that we have, kill a fatted calf, give up our firstborn child? Micah is responding to the standing belief and practice that God desires sacrifices to be pleased, and that somehow one can win God's favor by an act of gift giving or self-sacrifice. This is not what we are called to do as we live this life. Micah responds simply, you want to know what God requires of you? Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. It might be a short verse, easy to read, easy to remember, but it is not necessarily easy to live. The reality is that while it is important for us to know our Christian history, the Bible, what it says and how it came to be, how we came to be Fairview Community Church and who we are going to be together, what it all comes down to is this: can you live a life seeking justice, and doing justice? Can you love? Can you love kindness and spread that love and kindness to all you encounter? And finally, can you walk through this life with God? But not simply commit yourself to walking with God, but can you approach God and the rest of humanity with a humble nature? Can you do this? For this is what it's all about. This is a code to live by. Doing justice means actively engaging our community, our local and global community. It means paying attention to the lives of others beyond ourselves. It means that we cannot turn our eyes to the suffering. We cannot be blind to the inequality, discrimination, prejudice, and wrongdoing. The prophet Isaiah tells us in the 58th chapter that this is the life we have been commissioned to live. To loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to share our bread with the hungry, and to allow the homeless poor into our homes, clothing the naked. Martin Luther King Jr. said it best, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. How will that play out in the life of Fairview Community Church? I do not know exactly. How will that play out in your life? You must answer the question. Is it standing up for immigrants? I would be remiss if I were not to mention the nationwide demonstration in support of immigrant rights, because this is an important issue for all of the United States, especially California, but our own city of Costa Mesa currently captures the attention of the nation as it examines immigration issues. How will we, as a church, respond as seekers of justice? Perhaps you will commit yourselves to live greener, seeking to celebrate Earth Day every day as we strive to be better stewards of God's creation. Or will you seek justice, working towards fair and equitable health care for all people? Or maybe it means standing up in favor of equal marriage rights for all couples. Will you seek justice, caring for the poor in our community, perhaps getting more involved in a food pantry or explore ways to be involved in a soup kitchen or to look into low-income housing? How will we at Fairview Community Church individually and communally live out this call to be seekers and doers of justice in this world? One of my favorite bumper stickers reads, "Practice random acts of kindness." It was conceptualized as a response to the rising violence in our world and the random acts of violence that occur in our society. And while it's a catchy bumper sticker, it's also a statement about how we live in the world today. Micah tells us that we need to practice random acts of kindness, and loving kindness means embodying God's love to our sisters and our brothers. It's not always easy to be kind. It's especially hard to love the people that we don't get along with. And yet, the great commandment echoes Micah's words, asking us to love God and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That means we have to truly love who we are. And then we have to multiply that love and share it with everyone else. Again, it sounds simple, but we can all think back to our adolescence and remember how hard it was to love ourselves, let alone love our parents and our classmates and strangers. Perhaps we still have a hard time loving ourselves, loving our parents, our coworkers, loving the stranger among us. Love is not always easy. We live in a world that causes us to be self-critical, to judge our own appearance, our intelligence, our status in life, and reinforcing society's opinion that we are not good enough and somehow not quite deserving of love. And yet, we believe in a God that created us in God's own image, looking and loving us for who we are. In fact, imbuing us with this divine love and asking us to share that love with the rest of creation. How easy it often is to choose the opposite, to react with snide, critical, cynical comments, to judge our peers and ourselves as if the reality is that there is no such thing as good enough. Yet God tells us otherwise. We are all good enough. And we are all deserving the love of God, of self, and the love of our community. And finally, Micah tells us to walk humbly with God. We each embark on our own journey. We are unique human beings with our own unique perspectives, relationships, and life goals. We see the world through different eyes. We don't always understand where others are coming from. We certainly do not always agree. We give different values to different things. We lead different lives. And while our journeys are different, each of us journey with God. We may not experience God the same way, but each of us walks in relationship with our Creator. And here at Fairview Community Church, we recognize our different paths and yet choose to travel a bit of the journey side by side. Yes, each of us walks with God. Micah tells us that we are called to walk humbly with our God. And one of our Christian goals as living in community is for all people to have a sense of their own innate worth. As we raise our children in the church, we want them to know that they are intelligent, amazing, creative individuals capable of doing anything they desire. We want to pump them up with as much self-worth as possible, but Micah wants us to remember that we are called to walk the humble path. We are not to be boastful, egotistical, or too proud. As we seek to build our community together, we need to consider this balance. God has given us ultimate possibilities, and with this wealth of opportunity, we are called to respond humbly. And so as humble people of God, we recognize that we are not the only beings in this world. Sometimes we Americans tend to forget this. We do not rule the world. Sometimes we forget that we do not own the corner of the market on God. We share this world with all the rest of creation, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, the trees that reach towards the heavens, the animals that roam the earth, and even the bugs that creep and crawl around us. Sometimes we need a reminder to humble ourselves in the face of this vast creation. God is in one moment larger than the universe, and in the same breath, as close as the wind upon our skin. May we be humble in the presence of this great spirit, and likewise, humble in relationship with one another. Micah shares with us what God requires of us, and now we are asked to live it. And while church is not a requirement to living the godly life, it certainly helps us to live in community with one another. We become accountable to each other. We care for each other. We challenge one another. And we recognize that in community, we can often do more good than we can alone. You have a proud history here at Fairview. And I am excited about what possibilities we have before us. The opportunities we have to grow. Isn't that what Jesus called us to do? When he told us to pick up his cross and follow him. Jesus' life was Micah 6:8 embodied. He lived a life of justice enacted, of love and kindness, of humbly walking in relationship with God. Jesus sought to overthrow the power structure in place in first century Palestine, to love the unlovable, to walk in relationship with God in the humble villages of Galilee, away from the religious elite of his day. And Jesus said, come and follow me. He showed us the path and he offered us an invitation to join him on a journey. We do not embark upon this journey because it is the path of least resistance. We journey because God has called us forward. You've heard it said before and you will hear it a million times again. No one ever said life was going to be easy, and nobody ever said the Christian life was easy. We do not journey because it is easy. The road is often rough, but the scenery can be incredibly beautiful. The journey is worth it. And though the storms may come, and we all know they do come, Fairview, you are no stranger to bad weather. But you know the sun will shine through the clouds. So let us commit to journeying together with God and with one another in this loving community, seeking justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly. Perhaps this is the secret that Dan Brown knew all along. And he can smile as the world turns the pages of his book. Christianity is not on the verge of death. Instead, it is calling to us from antiquity through the voices of the young and old, the wisdom of fiction and fantasy, asking us to journey forward, open to the mystery of the spirit that moves among us. The Da Vinci Code's a page turner. But then again, so is life. Let's open the book to a new page together. Amen. We did open the book, and we began an incredible story together. What a page turner it has been. It's hard to believe that we've come to the end of these chapters, but as hard as it is to imagine leaving, when I reflect on that first sermon I ever preached here in this sanctuary, I realized that we have done everything we said we were going to do, and we did it together. And the truth is, the book isn't closed just because these chapters have come to completion. There's more for you to do, and you will continue to live by the code. So let's celebrate what we have done. What we said we would do, we did. And we have done it with integrity, joy, with thoughtfulness and intention, with courage and compassion, and so much creativity. Because we have sought justice, and we have loved with great kindness, and we have walked humbly with our God and one another. So yes, let us celebrate. I really hope that you will continue this celebration. But more importantly, I hope you continue the work. I am both dreading next week and very much looking forward to the hope of seeing some of you in person in any of the safe options, so social distancing in a gathering that we have planned. So meet me back here at the corner of Fairview, where it crosses Fair. I'll meet you there.
Okay, key of D. In the town of Costa Mesa, by the county fair, at 10 o'clock on Sundays, there's a breath of heavenly air. I'll meet you there, at the corner of Fairview. I'll meet you there. At the corner of Fairview, whoever you are or happen to be, don't park your brain or personality. Just come on in and you will see what it's all about is community. I'll meet you there at the corner of Fairview. I'll meet you there where a cross is fair. Just come on down and hear the news. God's people care at the corner of Fairview. Earth's a beauty, but the world's a mess. Life these days brings a lot of stress. So come around, lay your burdens down. All weary souls, enjoy the rest. I'll meet you there at the corner of Fairview. I'll meet you there, where a cross is fair. Just come on in and hear the news. God's people care at the corner of Fairview. Everyone needs a reason to sing, so find your song and let it ring. Go out from here and take your stand. Together we'll build a better land. I'll meet you there at the corner of Fairview. I'll meet you there where a cross is fair. Just come on in and hear the news. God's people care at the corner of Fairview. Just come on in and hear the news. God's people
greatest hits, this one by our very own Pastor Emeritus, the Reverend Dr. Gary Barmore. And so, my brothers and sisters, children of God, go out into a world broken and hurting, disillusioned and disappointed. And know that nothing can destroy the church, for the church lives in you. And you will bring healing and hope, joy and love. You will continue to seek justice and walk humbly, and you will love, sharing the love of Jesus with kindness and compassion and a zest for life. Because you, Fairview, you live the code and you carry the light. Amen. I'll see you on Zoom in a couple of minutes. Carry the light.